Well, he refused to go. He told them who to send. He said, you send that policeman, I'll go with him. He told them who to send. When they sent that man, Wood went with him. Went to jail for 6 months. Would have still been there had Ms. Wood not gotten an airplane ticket from Asuncion to Washington, D.C. to go see the president. And when she got to Washington, D.C., and they said, what are you here for? She said, I'm here to see the president. They said, well, he's not here. And she said, okay, I'll just wait. And she sat down on the steps of the White House to wait for the president to return. Well, when she wouldn't leave, somebody came out there and somebody else asked her, why are you here? She said, my husband's in jail in Paraguay. He was never tried. He was never convicted. They just came locked him up. And she said, I'm here to see the president because they have no intention of releasing him down there. And they said, well, the president's not here, but let me see if I can get you in to see the Secretary of State. And she got in to see the Secretary of State, and they got the wheels rolling to get Brother Jack Wood out of prison in Paraguay. Now, ladies, sometimes in life, you just got to woman up.
Yeah.
You just got to do what needs to be done when the man can't do anything. And Ms. Wood was one of those silent, strong types. But you'd never think about her holding a shotgun on the police. But she did. She said, well, I don't believe that's right. You weren't there. You don't know what was going on. I know most of the time the police are the good guys. But occasionally, they're the bad guys. So, you don't do that, you know, with the good guys. But you might have to do that someday with the bad guys. Just saying, and I know I'm on the internet. I'm not trying to start any insurrection. I'm not trying to create any rebellion. I'm just telling you, a badge doesn't make them a good guy. Neither does a badge make them the bad guy. Depends on how they do their job, how they treat people, and how much character they have.
Right.
And so I always like that part of that story too, Brother Darren. That's one reason Ms. Wood was one of my heroes. And Brother Wood's saying she'll do to ride the river with, that meant whatever you face, she'll be there. Ready to do whatever needs to be done. That was the highest compliment he could pay his wife.
Man.
He never had any regrets about marrying that woman.
Amen.
I can say the same. I've got no regrets.
Praise the Lord.
Your sister Marcia, she looks like her daddy, but she's really like her mama. Not going to have much to say until things start happening. When things start happening, she's ready to do whatever needs to be done.
Yep.
Whether it's easy, whether it's hard, Amen. Doesn't make any difference. She's ready to ride the river. I'm in Luke chapter 10. Appreciate both of you men and missionaries being here with us tonight. And well, what a blessing. Brother Bashir getting into those schools. Don't forget, church, to get your book back there, your devotional on creation and evolution. Don't be picking up one for your uncle that never comes to church and one of your relatives, you know, that you think that they need some help on evolution. That's not what they're for, okay? They're one per family. If you want to give them your copy, help yourself. That's the way that deal works.
Yeah.
So if I see you with more than one going out the door, I'm going to have some questions. But not many questions. Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up." Yeah, he's here to say something. I always give lawyers a hard time. I got to back off from that a little bit. Now we got some in our church. Because you never know when I might get in trouble. In fact, I have had papers served to me. I am being sued. So I'm glad I got a lawyer in the church. Y'all didn't know it, but I am Dr. Danny Farley Jr., according to the court. And being sued for medical malpractice. I can't wait to see how much you're suing me for. So, it probably wouldn't hurt if you pray with me about that. I didn't know what I was supposed to do since I got the wrong guy. But maybe I did that in my other life. Who knows? A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, what's the motive for this man asking Jesus that question? Tempted him. He's messing with him. He's being one of them smart alecks. Like we heard about this morning. And Jesus said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" Okay, the lawyer asked one question. He gets asked two questions. You know, I tried that in court one time. I was in court before I ever moved to Houston. And I was a bookkeeper for a feed, seed, fertilizer store, pecan house. We bought and sold pecans, loaded the trucks at night. And I was the bookkeeper. And so the bank foreclosed on this business. And went to court. They were asking me a bunch of questions about the books. And he asked me this question. He said, "How much did this company make between May the 14th and July the 27th? I don't remember the dates. I'm making those up, okay? He just picked two dates out like that. I said, "How much did that company make between those dates?" I said, "How much did you make between those two dates?" "Your Honor, were you going to allow this witness to question the counsel?" He said, "Mr. Farley, would you please refrain from questioning the attorney and just answer his questions?" I said, "Well, Your Honor, the point is, he doesn't know the answer to my question any more than I know the answer to his question. And if I picked out two dates, you wouldn't know the answer if I asked it to you. Mr. Farley, you will refrain from comments or you will be held in contempt of court." I said, "I get the message." I said, "I don't know." That was my answer to his question. He said, "Well, where did you learn how to do accounting?" I said, "Texas A&M. He said, "Is that how they taught it there?" I said, "Yes, sir. They taught us to put out monthly reports, but they didn't ever teach us to pick out two random dates and tell how much was made between two random dates. I don't know any bookkeeper that's been taught that."
Yeah.
It make me look bad. At least he did make me look bad, but I gave him a hard time anyway. So it's a miracle that I'm still free. I tried in another court one time. I was reading the newspaper, went for jury duty. I didn't know you weren't supposed to read the newspaper in there. mean, we're just sitting there doing nothing, waiting for them to do whatever it is they do while all these prospective jurors are sitting there waiting. And he said, "Sir, back there with the newspaper, you need to get rid of that newspaper." I said, "Welcome to Communist America." "One more comment and I will have you in contempt of court." I just looked around like, "See? I didn't say anything else." Yeah. Lawyers don't like that kind of stuff, and judges like it even less. Speaking of smart alecks. "What's written in the law? How readest thou?" He asked him two questions. And he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." Now, that's pretty good, amen, for a lawyer. He knew the book. But he's using what he knows to tempt Jesus. Verse 28, "And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Now this lawyer should have quit right there. Huh? Jesus said, "You're right. Do that, you'll live." Hallelujah. He could have went down the road shouting the victory. Verse 29, "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And what's the definition of my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, let me tell you a little story. "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. I always wondered, what exactly is half dead? Not questioning the Lord, just saying, isn't that kind of like starting a car? Can you half start a car? Seems like you either start or don't start. And when it comes to death, you're either dead or you're not dead. So I think what he's talking about here is they just beat him pretty bad. He's half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." That's the type of religion. They showed up, but they didn't help. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. That's the type of the law. The law showed up. The law didn't help him. But a certain Samaritan. Oh. Now we got a race problem going on. Half Jew. Half Gentile. The Jews hated Gentiles. The Gentiles hated Jews. And they all hated the Samaritans. Because they were half and half. "A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him." Remember the question, who's my neighbor? "And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast," which meant he had to walk, "and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three," Jesus is asking this lawyer, "thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" You want to know who's my neighbor? He said, "Well, which one of these three was his neighbor?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." And Jesus said, "You're catching on quickly. Go and do thou likewise. I'd like to preach on tonight on who's your neighbor. And according to this story that Jesus told answering this lawyer's question, his first question was, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked him two questions, and the lawyer was able to answer it himself. But then the lawyer had a question, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells this story so this man will understand who is his neighbor. I want to say, first of all tonight, your neighbor is whoever you encounter that is wounded. They're wounded. We live in a day and time you hardly ever meet anybody that's not wounded. The church is a place to help wounded people. Do you remember when you were wounded? Seemed like you were about half dead. It might not have been somebody else. It might have been yourself. Might have been somebody else. But your neighbor is whoever is wounded and they're hurting and they need help. But they may not even be able to cry out for help because they're half dead. Who's wounded? Well, there's people who have sorrow and suffering. Some because of disease. Child in the hospital. Cancer. Surgery. Virus. COVID. HIV. Some other virus that we don't even have names yet that will soon have a name. I'm expecting China to name the next one and call it the Washington virus. Since Trump named it the Chinese virus, I figure they'll try to get even on that. Sorrow because of disease. Parents watching a child who didn't get a chance to live a full life, but disease came and took that child's strength and health. These people are hurting. Yes, sir. Sorrow because of divorce. The people that come talk to me that are thinking about getting divorced all have the same mental approach to divorce. I just want this to be over. So I try to explain to them, divorce does not end it. But they all think it will. If you're here tonight and it's getting a little rocky at your place, let me just tell the whole church so I don't have to go through this 25 times in my office. Divorce does not end it.
You're right.
Well, at least it won't be so bad. I believe I could call some witnesses right now. And so let me ask you this. Is it still just as bad? And some of them, maybe not all of them, but some of them would say, it's still just as bad.
Yeah.
I thought I was getting rid of the problem. And the problem is still there.
Yeah.
You know what? Divorce produces a lot of animosity and in many cases even hatred. And they have the rest of their life to torture you with their hatred.
Yeah.
Talking about sorrow. Divorce produces sorrow. And the parents of the two getting divorced, And the children of the two getting divorced. And in the two getting divorced. For what God hath joined asunder. Why is it so painful? Because God has joined them together. And now they have been torn asunder. So you've got two adults who are hurting. X number of children who are hurting. And two sets of parents of the adults hurting. And maybe even four sets of grandparents. The pain just keeps going. The wounds just keep getting deeper. I know what I'm telling you about tonight. This is not something I've heard about. Now, unless you're on the internet, just for your information, I've never been divorced. But I got some close family members who have been. And I've watched the pain. And I've experienced the pain. And I've lived with the pain. And so will you if it comes to your house. It's not going to be over. Sorrow from death. My father lost his mother when he was 13 years old to what they called back then consumption. I don't know if that was tuberculosis, if it was cancer, whatever it was. You may know. I've even looked it up, and after I read about it, I still wasn't sure. That's what they called it back then. They said she died of consumption. Sorrow wounds people. And just me preaching and using a few illustrations, there are going to be some people under the sound of my voice right now that are reminded about the pain that they suffered because of disease, divorce, or the death of a loved one. Our church experienced one of the most painful sorrows that I've ever been associated with when a 2-year-old boy got run over and killed in the parking lot. You got small children, parents, keep them right with you when you go out these doors. Keep them right with you. We know how painful that can be. And it never goes away. Who's your neighbor? Somebody that's hurting. Hurting from sorrow, hurting from sin. Sin also hurts people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Your sin is hurting you. Yes, sir. Your sin is going to hurt everybody else in your family. Your sin is going to be judged to the third and fourth generation.
Yeah.
Unless you get that under the blood and forsaken. There's the sins of lust. All they wanted to do was feel good. But that didn't last very long. And instead of feeling good, now they feel bad. All the time. Because of their sin. Who's your neighbor? Somebody that got wrapped up in sin and it's killing them. Sins of lust, sins of lawlessness. They just wanted to be free and not bound by a bunch of rules. So they started living their life lawless, without laws, without rules. I've watched people come to church, live by what the world looks at as our rules, get tired of the rules, and they just want to be free, do what they want to do. But instead, the freedom that they assume brings them into worse bondage, and they're more miserable than they were before. Well, I just don't see anything wrong with them. You can fill in the blank. That's because you want to do what you want to do. But what you don't understand is the more you do what you want to do, the more miserable you're going to be, the more miserable your family is going to be, and they're going to be confused about why you changed. Who's hurting? The reason people are trying to do all that is because they're hurting. They're hurting. They're trying to feel better. Lawlessness is never the way to feel better. Lawbreakers live their lives looking over their shoulder, listening for every siren, wondering if they're coming to pick them up and what they're going to convict them of and how long they're going to spend in jail or prison. Lawlessness does not bring peace and happiness. Jesus said, you want to know who your neighbor is, Mr. Lawyer? He said, it's that person that's hurting. And if you're here tonight and you're hurting, I want you to know I'm not against you.
Amen.
We're here to help you.
Yeah,
any way we can help you not hurt so bad, we'd like to try to help you. We're not against you. You may think we're against you because we don't agree with what you're doing, but we're not against you. We're for you.
Amen.
Wounded by sorrow, wounded by sin, wounded by Satan, wounded by a false shepherd.
Yep.
A lot of people in the world, when you're visiting, are going to tell you some story about a preacher that they knew. And what happened, and why they don't go to church anymore. A lot of the sheep get neglected. Some of the sheep get abused. So we see in this answer of the Lord Jesus to this man, who is my neighbor, he tells him the condition of the world as we see it tonight. A world full of hurting people. And they go to religion for help. Any religion you can name. They go to religion for help, and they find the callousness of religion in verse 31 and 32. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Sounds like it was by chance. This is not part of this priest's job description. Therefore, he excused himself. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. The callousness of religion, who had nothing to offer this man who was wounded and hurting. You know what's sad about missionaries going to a field and preaching the gospel to them? They've already been abused by religion. They've already tried keeping the law, and it didn't help them. They need somebody to come and tell them that there's one that loves everybody. Jew, Gentile, Samaritan, makes no difference.
Yeah.
In this story, this man was an outcast, but he had compassion and he had mercy. The truth of the matter is, we're all outcasts tonight.
Amen.
The callousness of religion, but I quickly want to get to the compassion of this certain Samaritan. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed, I can hear Buddy Bluckall singing it right now. He came to me.
Yeah.
I can hear him singing it. He can sing as good as anybody I ever heard sing it.
Amen.
Here's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, despised and rejected. But he came where this man was. And when he saw him, how the man was beaten, bloodied, half dead. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. I'm glad for the night that the Lord saw me about at the end of my rope, gone as far as I could go, and didn't know what else to do and where else to turn. And he came by that night, and he saw me, and he had compassion on me. And he came to me. I wasn't in church, I was in the college dormitory room, so he just came in there.
Yep.
Like he was a student at Texas A&M. Yeah. Came right in the room. Saved my soul. He had compassion.
Amen.
Glory, glory. He'll come help you. Doesn't matter where you are, what you got going. He'll come to you. He'll meet your need. Amen. Because you're his neighbor. Came where he was. He asked you something tonight, sinner friend. Where are you? Let me ask you something, child of God, that's kind of wandered off out in the weeds. Where are you tonight? Sometimes I look around, people used to be real involved in this church. And I'm thinking, where are they? They still come and go. But they miss a lot. Not very involved.
Yeah.
Where'd they go? He'll come to you tonight.
Amen.
You want to get back in? Good time to get in.
Yeah.
Good place to get in.
Yes.
Well, I'm thinking about another church. That's what happens to everybody when they're getting out.
Yeah.
They always start thinking about another church.
Right.
You look around and they're gone one day and everybody says, what happened to them? They're gone. So why'd they leave? Because they were already drifting.
You're right.
That's why they leave. You don't need to know the answer to that question anyway. If you ask them personally, they're going to give you all their excuses for why they left.
Yeah.
Some of them will be true.
Yeah.
Some of them will be exaggerated.
Most
time they didn't get treated good enough to suit them. But they forgot that when they were laying on the side of the road, half dead, that somebody came by and had mercy on them right here at this church. They forgot about that.
Yeah.
Verse 34, and he went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He not only came to him, but he cared when he got there. Wasn't just his job. Wasn't what was expected of him. He just had compassion, and he cared for this man. He did everything in his power. He bound him up instead of beating him up.
Man.
You don't want to go to church and get beat up all every time you go to church.
No.
You need a little oil and a little wine once in a while.
Yeah.
Somebody that cares.
Amen.
And he poured in instead of taking out. I know some people that want to be a pastor, but if they ever become a pastor, all their church members are going to be to them is somebody to take from.
Right.
It's not my job to take from you.
Amen.
It's my job to bind you up.
Amen.
My job to pour something in. My job to help get you healed up, feeling better, where you can get on with serving God. He set him on his own beast instead of casting him aside. Willing to walk so the wounded can ride. I tell you, Christians, part of the Christian life is sacrificing some of what you do, what you've got, what you'd like to do, so that somebody less fortunate than you can enjoy what could have been yours, but instead you had mercy on somebody. He set him on instead of casting him aside. He brought him. Brought him to an end in verse 34. He didn't just catch somebody else and say, look, if you take this guy down there in the end. No, this guy had about all he could take. He was half dead. This good Samaritan wanted to make sure that this man got to the destination safely. No matter how much time it costs, no matter how much money it costs, no matter how much of an inconvenience it might be, whatever it takes to help the wounded, that's the Christian life. Who is our neighbor? Anybody that's wounded. Does this wounded world know that we care? You know how you know they're wounded? They keep lashing out at people.
Yeah.
That's what a wounded bear will do.
Yeah.
Wounded bear will hurt you. Wounded lion will eat you alive. A wounded preacher will make you miserable. And the world is wounded. How do you know? How do you know they're hurting? Well, they're burning down their cities.
Yeah.
They got something going on that's hurting them. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying they're wounded. When are we going to start caring? We can be critical. We're pretty good at that. Does your neighbor who gets wounded, I'm talking about even next door sometimes, do they know that you care? I kind of got embarrassed. My next door, I had that knee surgery and then blood clots and all that stuff. And my neighbor's wife next door was out there mowing the yard one day and had a scar about that long on her leg. I walked over to the fence and I said, what in the world do you do? She told me how she got hurt. I didn't even know she got hurt. It's done healed up enough she's mowing the yard. There's wounded people.
Yep.
I was watching somebody walk across the parking lot coming into the service. I told my wife, I said, they're still wounded from that accident. And by the way, church, I don't know if everybody knows this, Sister Mariana Metters was in a bad car wreck. Was it Friday?
Yes.
God was merciful. Totaled the car. Miracle that she said she got one scratch. Well, the Lord sure is good, isn't
he? Amen.
You know, her and Preacher Dan probably couldn't handle another load on top of what they already got.
Amen.
So glad that she's doing all right. People are wounded. People are hurting. You need somebody that cares to have compassion. So be a blessing. Give some joy. That's what wine speaks of. Pour in the oil. Be a blessing. Have some compassion. Care about somebody. I think that's what missions is all about.
Yeah.
Going to Fiji and just caring and having compassion.
Yeah.
Did you hear his plea?
Yes, sir.
For Fiji?
Yeah.
We got 17,000. Was it 17,000 students? But he said, to be honest with you, we don't have the manpower to get to those places. So their cry is the same of every missionary in the world, and even the only prayer request that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, ever made. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Every missionary that goes and they give up all and they go to the field and they start looking for a way to get the gospel to the lost. And it may take some time, but God will eventually open the door and say, here's how you do it. And once they see the open door, they find out we don't have enough time now for all these open doors. I'm happy to meet another missionary going to Peru. I remember when Gerald Rose was in Peru for many years. There used to be some great missionaries in Peru.
Yep.
But they kind of, I don't know if they ran them out of the country or they all just got old and went home to be with the Lord. But I don't hear very many missionaries in Peru anymore. Thank God somebody's gone.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Just go where they are. Have compassion on them. Care for them. And we're to do the same thing, church.
Yeah.
We're in a needy community right here where we're located. A needy community. Do you care? And it said in verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more. Man, that sounds like a blank check.
Yeah.
Whatsoever thou spendest more. Sounds to me like that the Lord Jesus just wants us to take care of people.
Amen.
Well, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I get it. I'm probably the same way. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just telling you, Jesus is explaining to this man, who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? It's anybody that needs help.
Yeah.
Who needs help? Can I just lay this out here for you tonight and tell you, everybody needs help.
Oh, yeah. Man, oh, yeah.
Everybody sitting in here tonight needs help. You may not want any help. You may not think you need any help. But I'm telling you, everybody in here tonight, if we knew everything going on in everybody's life in here tonight, we would discover they need some help.
Amen.
They're hurting. Whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, when I come again, when I come again, I will be coming again. There's another picture of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know one thing Brother Dean Sides had when he would go out knocking on doors? Those people knew he was going to come again.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could slam the door, cuss him out, tell him, I'm going to shoot you if you ever come to my door again. Oh, he just thought that meant they were getting close. They wouldn't be getting that upset unless they were under conviction. Brother Danny, come go with me. I want you to give your testimony. I said, well, didn't they say they were going to shoot you? He said, yeah, but they didn't say they were going to shoot you. He said, I'm the only one taking a chance here. Come on, let's go visit them. I'd go with him.
Oh, yeah.
I watched him stick that foot in the door where they couldn't slam it shut. He didn't care if they mashed his foot. He was going to get in there and tell them how to be saved and take me in there and I was going to tell them how I got saved. When I come again, when I come, do those sinners know you're going to come again? Or did their excuses just convince you that there's no hope and you gave up? Don't give up. Somebody didn't give up on you. Somebody didn't give up on me. And when I come again, I will repay thee. In other words, no matter what it costs, we'll get reimbursed. That's Jesus Christ's explanation of who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Are you being neighbor to anybody? It's hurting. You see, one of the advantages of being a pastor in the same place for a long time is you watch people hurt and how they respond to the pain. Some people you hardly ever even know how bad they're hurting. Other people, they're just hanging by a thread because their heart is hurting. If you're here tonight and your heart's hurting, maybe we don't even know about it. Could I invite you to come tonight during this invitation? Casting all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. You say, y'all wouldn't understand. Y'all wouldn't understand my pain. Bring it down here and give it to Jesus. He'll understand. He'll know all about it. And He can do something about it. We can pray for you, but we might not be able to solve your problem. We might not be able to help you through it, but we'll sure love you and pray for you if we can. Don't have to tell us anything. We just want to be your neighbor. Would you stand and bow your heads with me, Father? Pray you touch that heart tonight that's been suffering. Maybe nobody even knows how bad they've been suffering and hurting. They've been wounded. They might have even been wounded in the house of their friends. That's where Jesus got hurt. And I pray, Lord, they'd come tonight, look for the wine and the oil and the certain Samaritan that'll come to them in care, have compassion, and pay the price. Touch that heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Jerry?
Hymn number 115 in your soul, sir.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as me. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
I never hear that song that I don't think about Miss Baird. That's Mike and Steve DeSales' grandmother. She was a faithful member of this church. And every time I'd go visit her, she had an old player piano. She put those rolls in to play itself. She had a working player piano. But when I'd go, you could also play it manually, and I'd go over there and she'd say, would you play and sing that nobody ever cared for me like Jesus? Yes, ma'am, I'll do it. And I'd play it and sing, and she'd just hold her hands together and just rejoice in the Lord. She's living in pain, but she sure did like to hear that song. So, Miss Baird, this verse is for you.
Amen. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms around me, and He led Guide me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
We're going to sing one more verse. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to sit down on this step. In case there's somebody here and you think nobody cares what I'm going through. I'm going to invite you to come to sit down there on the step beside me. Or kneel down there beside me, whatever. Let me pray with you. I want you to know I do care.
Amen.
You don't have to tell me what's going on. You can if you want to. You don't have to. I just want you to know I'm here. I care. And I'll pray with you while we sing this verse.
Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me. Till someday I see His blessed face of love. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He is something that no other friend could do. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms about me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love, but I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face of love. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
And I don't care what the devil tells you, He cares for you too. He cares for you. Oh, you preacher, I've done this, I've done that. He still cares.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He don't quit caring.
Yeah. Yeah, preacher.
God called Pastor to quit caring either. Seems like you care more the further you go. Because you've seen more what happens to wounded people. They put on that hard exterior because they're hurting on the inside and they don't want to hurt anymore. Sometimes the hard people are the most wounded. Thank you for being here tonight, church. Thank you, missionaries, for being here. Thank you, Bustos kids, for that singing. Brother Jeff Lang, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Lord, we just want to thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this day of preaching we've heard, Lord. Lord, you covered everything. Today, Lord, for these two preachers, Lord, I pray you bless these two missionaries, Lord, to these fields, Lord, I pray you bless their families, Lord, I pray you just keep your hand over the top of them, Lord.
Yes.
I pray all this, Lord, in Jesus'
yes.
name I pray.
Amen. God bless the church. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed.